Good morning, and welcome to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix, in Green Valley. Rick Hansen, PhD, is a psychologist and New York Times best-selling author. He's been invited to speak at NASA, Oxford, Stanford, Harvard, and meditation centers worldwide. His books are available in 28 languages and include Making Great Relationships, Hardwiring Happiness, Just One Thing, and Mother Nurture. His work has been featured on the BBC, CBS, NPR, and other major media. And now, Just One Thing. Who are you deep down? The practice? Know you're a good person. Why? For many of us, perhaps the hardest thing of all is to believe that I am a good person. We can climb mountains, work hard, acquire many skills, and act ethically, but truly feel that one is good deep down? Nah. We end up not feeling like a good person in a number of ways. For example, I once knew a little girl who displaced by her baby brother and fended off and scolded by her mother, who was worn down and busy caring for an infant. This girl was angry at her brother and parents, plus lost and disheartened and feeling cast out and unloved. She'd been watching cartoons in which the soldiers of an evil queen attacked innocent villagers, and one day she said sadly, "Mommy, I feel like a bad soldier." Later in life, whether in school or adulthood, shamings, moral indictments, religious chastising, and other criticisms come in many shapes and sizes. Feeling morally compromised, the essence of not believing that you're a good person, is fed by related, though different experiences of worthlessness, inadequacy, and unlovableness. As my ranch-born father would say, feeling like you're the runt of the litter. I've also known people, including myself, who have done bad things or said them or thought them. Things like hitting an animal, risking the lives of their children while driving buzzed, being mean to a vulnerable person, stealing from a store, feeling contemptuous, or cheating on a partner. These don't need to be felony offenses to make one feel guilty or ashamed. In effect, to simplify, it's as if the psyche has three parts to it. One part says, "You're not good." Another part says, "You're good." And a third part, the one we identify with, listens. The problem is that the critical, dismissive, shaming voice is usually much louder than the protecting, encouraging, and valuing one. Sure, there is a place for healthy remorse. But shining through our lapses of integrity, no matter how great, is an underlying and pervading goodness. Yes, it may be obscured. I'm not letting myself or others, from panhandlers to CEOs and presidents, off the moral hook. But deep down, all intentions are positive, even if they are expressed in problematic ways. When we are not disturbed by pain or loss or fear, the human brain defaults to a basic equilibrium of calm, contentment, and caring. And in ways that feel mysterious, even numinous, you can sense profound benevolence at your core. Really, the truth, the fact is that you are a good person. Me too. When you feel deep down like a bad soldier or simply not like a good person, you're more likely to act this way, to be casually snippy, self-indulgent, selfish, or hurtful. On the other hand, when you feel your own natural goodness, you are more likely to act in good ways. Knowing your own goodness, you're more able to recognize it in others. Seeing the good in yourself and others, you're more likely to do what you can to build the good in the world that we share together. How? I've learned 5 good ways to feel like a good person, and there are probably more. Number 1. Take in the good feeling of being cared about. When you have the chance to feel seen, listened to, appreciated, liked, valued, or loved, take a dozen seconds or more to savor this experience, letting it fill your mind and body, sinking into it as it sinks into you. 2. Recognize goodness in your acts of thought, word, and deed. These include positive intentions, putting the brakes on anger, restraining addictive impulses, extending compassion and helpfulness to others, grit and determination, lovingness, courage, generosity, patience, and a willingness to see and even name the truth, whatever it is. You are recognizing facts. Create a sanctuary in your mind for this recognition, holding at bay other voices, other forces that would invade and plunder this sanctuary for their own agenda, such as the internalization of people you've known who made themselves feel big by making you feel small. 3. Sense the goodness at the core of your being. This is a fundamental honesty and benevolence. It's there inside everyone, no matter how obscure. It can feel intimate, impersonal, and perhaps sacred, a force, a current, a wellspring in your heart. 4. See the goodness in others. Recognizing their goodness will help you to feel your own. Observe everyday small acts of fairness, kindness, and honorable effort in others. Sense the deeper layers behind the eyes, the inner longings to be decent and loving, to contribute, to help rather than harm. 5. Give over to goodness. Increasingly, let the better angels of your nature be the animating force in your life. In tricky situations or relationships, ask yourself, being a good person, what's appropriate here? As you act from this goodness, let the knowing that you are a good person sink in ever more deeply. Enjoy this beautiful goodness, so real and so true. You are listening to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen. And here's another Just One Thing. Who has cared about you? The practice, feel cared about. Why? Everyone knows what it's like to take care of someone. Remember being with a friend, a mate, a pet? You feel warmly connected and want him or her not to suffer and to be happy. On the other hand, you've probably had the sense at one time or another of not being cared about, that you didn't matter to another person or group of people. Maybe they weren't actively against you, but they sure weren't for you. As soon as you recall a time like that, it's immediately clear why it's important to feel cared about, which is, to the heart, what water is to your body. Sometimes we feel embarrassed about our yearnings to be cared about, but they are completely normal and deeply rooted in evolution. Love, broadly defined, has been the primary driver of the development of the brain over the last 80 million years. Our ancestors, mammals, primates, hominids, and humans, survived and flourished and passed on their genes by learning to find good mates, bond with their young, draw males in to provide for children, create the village it takes to raise a child whose brain is quadrupling in size after birth and thus needs a long and vulnerable childhood, and team up with each other to compete with other bands for scarce resources. In this context, being cared about was crucial to survival. Mammals that did not care about being cared about did not pass on their genes. No wonder you care about being cared about. Studies show that feeling cared about buffers against stress, increases positive emotions, promotes resilience, and increases caring for others. Plus, it feels darn good. Over time, feeling cared about today can gradually fill any holes in your heart left over from your childhood, or last job, or last marriage, in which the caring felt like a thin soup. How? Let's start with the hard part. Opening to feeling cared about often brings up not feeling cared about. Those feelings are real. And they're based on real things like having a disengaged or critical parent, or being left out in school social situations. It's important to accept those feelings and hold them as best you can in a large space of awareness so that they are not so overwhelming. Then, take a breath and turn to the other side of the truth, the ways and times that you have been cared about. Those really exist. They do in everyone's life. The caring may not have been perfect or sustained, so it could be tempting to discount it or push it away as not good enough. And we have to watch out for tendencies in the mind to hold on to grievances and reproaches that harm us more than anyone else, including the people we may want to punish. But the caring that was present amidst everything else was indeed the real deal. And you, like everyone else, need to take that in as the living food every heart must have. For starters, recall being with someone who is or was caring toward you. Perhaps a grandparent making cookies, or a parent, friend, teacher, sibling, mate, child, or pet, or a spiritual being or presence. Then, open to feeling cared about. What does your body do when someone cares about you? What kind of thoughts or attitudes go through your mind? What's your emotional response to being cared about? know what it feels like to be cared about so you can find your way back here again. Then, this week, look for opportunities to feel cared about. Most of these will be small, passing moments when someone is sincerely thoughtful, friendly, or concerned. Look behind the eyes of people and see the human caring for you when it's there. Even if it's masked behind formalities, a prickly personality, too many words, or no words at all. When it's there, take it in. Let the feelings, body sensations, and thoughts of being cared about soak into you, like swallowing water on a hot and thirsty day. And then, each night, before you fall asleep, take a moment to call to mind again the sense of being cared about, resting in that feeling as it weaves its way into your breathing, body, and dreams. You are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff, bringing you Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen. And here's another Just One Thing. How do you talk to people? The practice? Try a softer tone. Why? Linguists like Deborah Tannen have pointed out that most communications have three elements. Explicit content. For example, there is no milk in the refrigerator. Emotional subtext. Could be irritation, blame, or accusation. And third, an implicit statement about the nature of the relationship. It could be one person gets to criticize and boss around someone else. Many studies have found that the second and third elements, which I defined in general as tone, usually have the greatest impact on how an interaction turns out. Since a relationship is built from interactions, the accumulating weight of the tone that you use has big effects. In particular, because of the negativity bias of the brain, which is like Velcro for uncomfortable experiences, but Teflon for pleasant ones, a repeatedly critical, snarky, disappointed, worried, or reproachful tone can really rock a relationship. For example, John and Julie Gottman's work has shown that it typically takes several positive interactions to make up for a single negative one. How? Be mindful of tone. Be on the lookout for needlessly negative tone, your own and others. And when it's there, including in mild ways like an eye roll, exasperation, or a subtle put down, notice the results. Also track the results of neutral or positive tone. Consider your true purposes. In an interaction, ask yourself if you're there to be right. Show the other person how he or she is wrong, vent, or work some covert agenda. These underlying priorities will lead to a problematic tone. Instead, try to ground yourself in more positive purposes, such as finding out what really happened in a situation, speaking from the heart, being empathic, strengthening the relationship, or solving a practical problem. lay a good foundation. First, try to establish a frame of relatedness and goodwill, and that you are not trying to boss the other person around. You do not need the cooperation of the other person to unilaterally center yourself. Clarify in your mind what it is you want to say, open your heart, find good wishes, and take a little time to get into a relationship before launching into your topic. Be careful about anger. I think that there is a place for anger. It alerts you to wrongs and energizes you to deal with them, and for letting others know that you're feeling annoyed or just plain mad. But how you express your anger can have a lot of unwanted impacts. Humans evolved to be very reactive to tones of anger because they carry signals of threat. Just notice how the background hubbub in a restaurant gets quiet when an angry voice is heard. Slow down. Do a few long exhalations to calm your body. Put the situation in perspective and try to feel down to the gentler, more vulnerable feelings beneath anger. Then, choose your words carefully and name what you're feeling beneath the anger without blaming the other person. For example, when there is no milk in the refrigerator, I feel like you're not thinking about the effect on me of taking the last of the milk. Remember that dumping your anger on others, including via little barbs, harms you too, and sometimes more than them. As a proverb says, getting angry with others is like throwing hot coals with bare hands. Both people get burned. Gentle your body. Relax your eyes, throat, and heart. This will naturally soften your tone. Don't use inflammatory language. Exaggerations, accusations, fault finding, words like never or always, insults, swearing, alarming threats, pathologizing, for example, you've got a personality disorder, and cheap shots, for example, you're just like your father, are gasoline on those hot coals. Instead, use words that are accurate and not provocative. Imagine that you are being videotaped and the people that you care about will be watching it later. Don't say anything that you'll regret later. Say what needs to be said. A reasonable and civil tone actually promotes honesty and assertiveness, because then you don't need to fight side battles or backtrack to clean up a mess. But if a softer tone replaces sticking up for yourself, that's not good for anyone. So keep communicating. May your interactions build great relationships. You are listening to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. And here's a quote from Dr. Rick. Truly, each one of us can come home to dignity, authority, and courage to stand in the truth and speak from the heart with passion and power, free of the flames of anger. And we have time for a couple more quotes from Dr. Rick. Here's one. When you have a chance to feel seen, listened to, appreciated, liked, valued, or loved, take a dozen seconds or more to savor this experience, letting it fill your mind and body, sinking into it as it sinks into you. You are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix, in Green Valley. Thank you so much for listening today, and I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day. And now, stay tuned for more programming coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona.